I was hopeless. I was helpless. I had pulled money out of my IRA account that I had saved up for over 20 years. I had about 14 credit cards, maxed all of them out. It was weed, it was alcohol or gambling or all of them. I would go up there on a Sunday and I wouldn't come back till Friday or Saturday. I was just totally out of control.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the One Day at a Time podcast. Today's guest is Malik Keen. He's an addiction recovery coach and peer recovery specialist who has overcome his gambling addiction. Malik, thank you for joining.
Hey, thanks for having me here, Rob.
Of course, man. And, you know, for those that don't know, you're a big Commanders fan, and I'm an Eagles fan. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that. I know this will come out a few weeks after the game. We're recording it before the game, so we don't know what's happened yet. I'm sure we're going to touch on it a little bit later. And especially what we're going to touch on is how we're both going to be watching this game as guys that used to be gambling on games like this. But before we get into that, I want to have you share your story, because before the call, you told me that you were struggling with a couple of different things over the course of your life. I want to give you the space to kind of dive into that. How did everything get started with the gambling, the drinking, and the drugs?
You know, starting out from a young age, came up with a great family, a lot of support, a lot of love. We traveled together, you know, ate dinner together. Just a lot of support there for me. And I was the youngest. I'm the youngest of three siblings. So my brother is 6 years older than me. My sister's in the middle. She's 3 years older than me. The trauma that I experienced, I would say middle school, getting bullied and, you know, being teased because I was overweight. Those are some of the traumatic experiences as I look back now in my life to see where did my addictive behavior start. You know, trying to get to the root of the problem, and have been able to do that since I've been, since I've overcome my gambling addiction and doing it one day at a time. Those are the things that I recognize. It was a void, and I was looking for validation, and it really put a chip on my shoulder because another part was a lot of the young ladies at that time, the girls that I liked, they weren't giving me any rhythm, man. They didn't. They would mess with my friends, my family members, my cousins. And they just looked at me, you know, like I was just nothing. That did something to my self-esteem and my confidence at a very young age. So you combine that with being bullied and, being teased for being overweight. You know, I really was not comfortable in my own skin. You know, I was really searching. I was already searching for something to make me feel good about myself. I started gambling. I started playing cards. It was a game called Tonk. And also a game called Spades. I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with. It was just like I had a natural talent for those things.
For those viewers that don't know what Tonk is, could you describe what the game like is, how it's played?
Yes, yes. Well, Tonk is a game where you get five cards. A lot of people probably are familiar with like Jim Rummy or something like that. It's five cards, and basically what you're trying to do is get three of a kind or three of like a suit, like kind of like a flush.
Okay.
But with three, like, you know, six, seven, eight of spades, that will be your spread cards. You pluck one card and you dish out one. So five cards, you pluck to get your six card, and then you make your hand. But you're always trying to either get low, where you have aces count is one, and you try to get the lowest hand, and you can drop at any time with the lowest hand and win. That's the real thing. You're trying to get low as you can and drop. You know, when I started playing, I got hooked immediately because I rarely lost. The little money that I was making off that began to, you know, be big, and I was, you know, up my bets on that. It was also competitiveness because of all of those other things too. I was so set on showing people that you're going to recognize me. Like I said, I had that chip on my shoulder. So that was a thing that I kind of found solace in, saying, all right, well, I'm going to take people's money, or I'm going to be the best I can at this. It escalated from there. You know, this was gambling started around, I'm going to say 13, 14 years old, gambling cards. And then going into high school, I actually skipped sixth grade, went from fifth from a private school to seventh grade. And, you know, that was a big part of it, too, because I was different. I didn't fit in. And this is my first time in public school. And, you know, they were cruel, man. You know how young kids or young adults can be. That, you know, they were cruel. So the bullying and everything. So when I found gambling at that young age, and then as I went on to high school, I was still gambling, playing tonk in the neighborhood, playing spades all the time, betting on that. And then it was also stuff that I like sports or playing basketball. I started playing basketball too. And we would, you know, bet money in the neighborhood on ourselves playing. So gambling was always a part of it. But as I went to high school, I played. I made the basketball team. I made the JV team. But I didn't even I quit the team. My brother had a band. I also wanted a band myself. So I wanted to be out with my brother. The drinking. I wanted to be in the party life, too. So, you know, that was the beginning of the cycle for me going into addiction. Gambling was first. Alcohol was right there with it ever since then, you know, until 3 years ago. March 16th will be 3 years, one day at a time, God willing, that I will have no, I've been abstinent from gambling, and it will be all 3.5 years of no alcohol, and also drugs is a part of my story as well. Gambling was one of those things that just escalated for me. So after high school, like going through high school gambling and then going to college, I made it into college by the skin of my teeth, you know, because I was drinking and partying and gambling and all of those things. And my freshman year in college, I went to Howard University, and I was able to get in there free because my dad was a dean of residence life there at the time. So I did have to go to summer school because, like I said, my grades went down. You know, I did well in middle school and elementary in the first 2 years of, well, the first year, I would say, of high school. But after that, you know, when the sports and the popularity and all of that came, and I started, my grades dropped, and I didn't do great on the SAT either. So, you know, my first year at Howard, I stayed on campus. My gambling went out of control then. You know, they actually labeled my room. I had a single room, which was very rare. It might have had something to do with my dad being dead the rest of his life. But, you know, they called my room the casino.
Really?
Yeah. You know, we would play tonk all day long. I didn't go to any classes. You know, I was making so much money in college. You know, I had like a 2 pages of just people that owed me the amount of money they owed me. And back then, this was way before like Cash App and Zelle and all that stuff. Sure. So they would be, their parents would wire them money. And they'll come, and I'll just bargain with them, cut a deal, and say, all right, look, you owe me $300. All right, just give me $175, and we're even. So my whole freshman year, that's what I did. Made a lot of money. And, you know, I was able to get, like, I don't know if you remember Isuzu Amigos. It was like a Jeep type of thing. It's way back. So, you know, I put rims on that. You know, got a radio system put in there, and, you know, going to the polo store, just living crazy, you know, taking this money, not doing anything good with it, and eating a whole lot too. So my weight ballooned out of control. So I say that to say, by the end of my first semester in college, I had like a 1.86 GPA. I was on academic probation. That didn't stop me. I had no college experience whatsoever. It was so bad that we would go to like parties that they would throw in the dorms or a house party off of campus. We would find gamblers, and we would be in the corner with a table gambling while the party was going on. So, you know, gambling caught me at an early age, and it was so addictive. I loved the money. It gave me a false sense of power. It gave me a false sense of achievement. It gave me a false sense of belonging and making me feel like, hey, I am somebody now. As we all know how this story ends, right? So fast forward a little bit. I couldn't wait to turn 21 years old because I knew I was going to the casino. That year I turned 21 years old, I went to Atlantic City. See, this was before casinos were, now casinos, you have the Horseshoe, you have Maryland Live, you have the MGM. Mm-hmm. All of these are right there in the DMV area. You know, I could get to each one of those probably in 30 minutes at the most.
Yeah.
So this was before all of that. So I couldn't wait. Went to Atlantic City. My first time there, I had in my mind, and I'm thinking, you know, oh, this is going to be easy. I win money all the time gambling. And I had in my mind, I'm going to go up there, and I think I set a goal. And I go there my first time, get on the slots, win money on that. By this time, I didn't mention, I'm shooting craps, too, with my neighborhood guys that I grew up with because I was living on campus, but I would go home on the weekend. I'm a big crap shooter, but I was losing money in craps. I might have had a couple times where I might have won. So I couldn't wait to shoot craps at the casino. I'm thinking, yeah, all right. So go to Atlantic City the first time, went on the slots, win all this money on the crap table. Mm-hmm. And I did what any good compulsive gambler would do. I lost it all back and a lot more. So yep. I had reached my quota that I said I was going to win and kept going, of course. And of course, I'm drinking with it. Early on, it was obvious that I had crossed that line. And then, you know, fast forward to the poker houses, you know, no limit. Fell in love with that. Now we're talking about cards and gambling. From there, it just escalated. You know, and this, it were periods of time, like, I did stay away from gambling for probably about 5 or 6 years when I started my business. You know, marijuana is a part of my story, smoking weed. I was doing that. It was never a time where I wasn't doing something. It was weed, it was alcohol or gambling or all of them or one of them, you know, at the bare minimum. After I got my business off the ground, like that whole time, it was just so much work. So there were times that you would see glimpses of me saying, you know what, I need to do something with my life and buckle down. I still have it. It's a moving company. So been in business 23 years, man. So, and that's a miracle of God there, because I don't know how with everything that I self-sabotaged and self-destructed, you know, and what I did with a lot of the money that I earned from that business through gambling.
Can we talk about something real for a minute? If your gambling has started to feel less like fun and more like stress, trust me, you're not alone. Millions of us know what it's like to say, just one more bet, or feel that urge that's really difficult to explain. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Evive, a sponsor of today's video. Think of it as having a recovery companion right in your pocket, someone who actually understands what you're going through. No lectures, no pressure, just practical tools and genuine support when those challenging moments hit. Download Evive now and you'll get guaranteed free access through 2026. Not a trial or a limited version, but the complete platform, completely free. Because Evive believes that everyone deserves access to support that works for them. Download Evive today and take the first step towards changing your relationship to gambling. Evive is only available in select countries.
So, you know, after that period when I got the business off the ground, I said, you know what? I deserve to have some fun, you know, and that was around age 36, right around that time. And from there, Rob, everything began to spiral out of control. I didn't mention at the age 21, too, I also caught my first DUI coming from a gambling party, drinking over there. And another thing about me, I was a sore loser. So I had lost so much money over there that night. And mind you, I have this thought that it's no way I could lose because I was winning so much. Mm. So I was already a sore loser. But now losing, when I thought I was going to win and knew I was going to win, this was the insanity of my addiction after I lost that money, now I'm drinking, driving home to my mom and dad's house. This was like a weekend I was home because I never graduated. Let me put that out there, too. I never graduated from Howard because I couldn't focus because I was too into gambling and partying. So I'm driving home and I lost so much money and drunk driving. A police officer was coming, driving the other way on a 2-lane road. I'm going one way. They're coming the opposite way facing me. And I cut them off. Of course, they turned around, hit the sirens, pulled me over. And I get my first DUI because I'm mad that I lost money. I'm drunk. And I do something stupid like that. This is when Texas Hold'em was huge. I started having poker parties over my house, going to more and more poker parties, losing a lot of money. Before this point, I had built up to have no debt. I had an 800 credit score. I had purchased my first condo. I had 2 cars and money in the bank. And I said, I made it. I made it. This is the American dream. I made it. But that was short-lived. Now I find myself at casinos. They're giving me credit lines there. I'm thinking I'm a big shot. They love me from the age 36 to right around 40, 47. I still was gambling after 47, but those years right there, I spiraled totally out of control. I'm going to go to the casino for one night. I'm going to get my, you know, they comp me a room. I'm going to go for one night. I'll go up on Sunday because, mind you, this was right before they built the casinos in my area. So my main casinos at that point was Dover Downs in Delaware. So I would go up there and say, I'm going to stay overnight. I would go up there on a Sunday and I wouldn't come back till Friday or Saturday. And I was just totally out of control. And of course, I'm drinking the whole time. At the age of 39, I caught my second DUI. What I would do is go to the casino because I knew I'll have a room so I could drink all night. And I'll just be at the casino and I'll just wait till the next day till I use my blowing the test kit so I can start my car up. I got to that place, you know, where I was totally miserable. I was hopeless. I was helpless. I had pulled money out of my IRA account that I had saved up for over 20 years, probably like $40,000. I got hit back with penalties. I had about 14 credit cards. Like I had like 9 personal, like 5 business, maxed all of them out. I remember one of my last outings, but getting close to the end. I had lost, and this is this is relatively speaking, depending on who it is. But for me, as a small business owner and already on this path of destruction, I remember losing from Friday to Sunday, losing $10,000. And that feeling of sickness that came over me, I knew I was at rock bottom. It continued, man. It continued. And for me, I got to a place where I'm doing harder drugs, not just weed. And I just remember being in my room, in my 1-bedroom apartment. I didn't want to go outside. I didn't want to see the sun. I didn't want to face anybody. I wouldn't be around my family. I wouldn't return calls. My business was barely holding on, you know. So, you know, that was the beginning of me saying I need help. And so around 2016, 17, I said, you know what? I've tried everything else. I'm gonna try God. I'm gonna try Christ. I actually went to church and this is another part of it. I met a young lady in the casino and she was, you know, it's up to people to say if they have a compulsive gambling, if they're, you know, that's up to them. Yeah. But from what I saw, we both had it bad. And it was like really pouring gasoline on fire. Yeah. And we went down fast. Totally toxic relationship. Yeah. you know, we're, you know, the police called on numerous occasions. We're, you know, I'm saying horrible things to her. She's stealing from me. You know, it was just the worst time, man, for me. So that's what I said, you know what, I need God. I need a power greater than myself. You know, we both ended up going to church. I gave my life to Christ, but guess what? I still had to do work. We started going to GA in 2016, 2017, but guess what? I wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. I had to get some more beat downs. So I went back out. And well, I never stopped. I tried something new. And, you know, I will say, you know, it helped, because the things you learn in GA, you know, you always hear how AA and GA, they mess up your addiction. Like, you hear people's story as you're in the casino gambling and you're like, what am I doing?
Yeah. You
know, so it did. Some things did resonate with me. I really had to have no reservations about this thing and saying, I'm serious about this. So, you know, by the grace of God, one of the guys I met, I was going to AA too, off and on. And matter of fact, I was ordered to do that after my second DUI. And it just so happens that one of the guys that I was at an AA meeting, and he was leading the meeting, and he shared his story. Mm-hmm. And he was a gambler and a alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And he shared his story, and it touched me so mad. I had tears in this meeting, and I went up to him and I said, man, can I have your number? And this was like in 2016 or so. Mm-hmm. So fast forward, he was like sending out devotions like Gamblers Anonymous, one day at a time devotions. I will read them sometimes, but he would always reach out here and there. When I checked myself into rehab for alcohol and drugs on September the 27th of 2021, that time frame, that visit at the rehab or me being in there, the same guy came up there and did a GA meeting in there.
Wow.
And the thing about it is, this was in the middle of COVID, so we all had on masks and all of that. So I didn't even know it was him. So after getting out of rehab, I said, you know what? I can gamble now, because I'm not drinking alcohol and I'm not doing drugs. I got a clear mind. That has to be the reason why I was feeling that way. I can gamble. Not for this person here, not for this addictive behavior that I've had my whole life. I came out of rehab on October 18th of 2021. The last day I placed a bet or went to the casino or gambled at all was on March 15th of 2022. So it was roughly 6 months after that. But I had started going back because I reached out to the guy that I met that years ago, but and then we got to talking, and I was like, yeah, I just, you know, got out of rehab. I had like two and a half months of no alcohol and drugs, and I was like, but I'm still gambling. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know. And the thing about it, you know, it's so deceiving, because I did think at first that was the reason, because I had won every time. But then we know what happens.
Eventually.
Yep. Eventually. So, and then all of those feelings came back. Mm-hmm. That sick feeling that I used to get. Just hopelessness, the guilt, the shame, the resentment towards myself, all of those things. When I reached out to him, he said, look, just come out to a GA meeting. Come out to a GA meeting. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to AA meetings. I'm doing this thing with alcohol and drugs. Let me let all of it go. Let me go again. So I knew eventually, if I kept gambling and being in that environment, that I was going to go back to alcohol too. So I went back to a meeting, man, and it took maybe 4 weeks. It was one meeting a week, and I just kept going. And I went in there beat down off of gambling. I just got handed a good one, like three good ones in a row. And I said, man, I'm waving the white flag with gambling too. And I surrendered, man. And between the combination of my faith in God and also doing the practical things, because it's a spiritual thing for me too, just as well as the practical. Like they say, faith without works is dead. And going to Gamblers Anonymous and just going under this wing of this man that I believe is God sent, because of him, that's how I met you, Rob. He told me about this one connection that led to another connection that led to another one. And that's how I became a certified peer recovery specialist, now having my own addiction recovery coaching business. The passion, it was always there to want to help other people, but I'm going to speak for myself. I was the most selfish person.
Me too.
Ever.
Yeah, you can say we.
in the midst of my compulsive gambling, you know, I couldn't think about anybody else or, you know, anything else. So it's just so awesome. And it's so important for me. It's really, for me, it's like, you know, going through the 12 steps definitely helped me so much. And for me, it's like my strategy now that I try to help others with. I broke it down to three things. For me, it was connecting with God, you know, renewing, having a renewed mind and finding my purpose. That will be like one phase. And then it's about finding a support group, finding your new family, the people that you all headed in the same directions, people that have lived experience that can give you wisdom and walk with you as you're going through these urges and cravings and, you know, all of those things. And then the other part is developing healthy habits and daily routines that are going to keep you on the right track. So those are the phases I narrow it down to when I speak with my clients in my addiction recovery coaching business. You know, I can't believe in this short frame of time, you know, the things that have happened, you know, the turnaround, full 180. I didn't even say I filed for bankruptcy in 2021 when I got out. No, 2022 when I got out of rehab that next year, filed for bankruptcy. Credit score was terrible. Since then, I've all types of financial blessings have come about. You know, my mindset, clear mind. I don't have to, you know, be fearful about how I'm going to pay this bill and, you know, what am I going to do with this? So, you know, it's just been an awesome, awesome turnaround.
From the story that you've just told, like, there wasn't a ton of references to sports betting. Were you a sports bettor as well during this time?
You know, Rob, I was it all. Yes. Yes. I did a lot of sports betting. The Lakers on my NBA team, the Commanders, NFL. I remember 2020, they both won. I would place a bet at the beginning of the year that the Commanders would win the division and the Lakers would win it all. Every time I was at Dover, which was every week, I'm sports bet. NBA, NFL, parlaying all of it. It was so many times, and I know you could relate to this, where it's come down to that one game. You got everything else right on your parlay, and it comes down to that one game. And I remember one time specifically, I think it was Minnesota Vikings, missed the field goal. It was like a 30-yarder. Think I would have won a couple thousand or something like that. Losing like that would take so much out of me. I was invested so much in that, that it would literally mess me up for like a week. Like I couldn't stop thinking, replaying, like, why did he miss that field goal? Like, you know, so the sports betting was, it was terrible too, because I'm only watching the game now just to win money, not out of any enjoyment, not out of, you know, I don't know what's, I could care less what's going on, you know, if somebody gets hurt or, you know, what, any of that. So, yeah, it was, yeah, sports betting was just, it was just as bad. It was, it really was.
Noting that mindset now, in 2 days, as we mentioned earlier on in this episode, the Eagles are going to be playing the Commanders. How has your perspective changed on watching sports without gambling now? Are you still going to enjoy this game? And if so, like, what are you going to get out of it?
Wow, good question there. You know what? I'm having the time of my life enjoying the Commanders get this far right now. So I wouldn't have, you know, yeah, of course, just thinking, my mind went there a couple times, like, wow, I wonder how much money I would have won if I put them making to the NFC Championship game or something like that. When I look at this now, like really being able to enjoy this, knowing that I'm a true fan and it's not about the money, that I really can enjoy it and I can take the loss a lot better too. So if they lose, of course I don't want them to, but if they do, you know what? It's not that big a deal on the big scheme of things. You know, that's life. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some. So it also teaches me how to keep things in the right perspective and really understand what's really important, because it's just a game. And I look back and I think about how much time I wasted on not just sports betting, but the recovery process for me was horrible. Like I said, it might take a week and I would literally be depressed where I didn't feel like doing anything. I'm not being my best. I'm not paying attention to the things I should have been. So I don't have to worry about that anymore. And I could really enjoy the game. My heart still pounds because I'm a diehard fan. But at the end of that, it's over. Whatever happens, happens. But that feeling, that rush feeling, I don't have to chase that feeling anymore. The rush of gambling and, you know, looking forward to it all. Like, you know, just really looking forward to it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the game, but I'm doing what I need to do. I'm living in my purpose now. So I have a lot of bigger things to worry about than to be just sitting around all week waiting for this game.
Malik, thank you so much for sharing your story. You made it very easy on me, this podcast, as you took it from front to back in a very well-spoken manner. And I just appreciate you taking the time. To anyone that's watching this that would like to work with Malik, check the description of this video to find out more about his addiction coaching services. And also, if you're looking for another story of someone that's in recovery from gambling addiction, watch this video. And let's keep getting better together one day at a time.